And we'll look at some scripture here in Hebrews chapter number 3. Thank you for praying for a camp meeting down in Hiawassee, Georgia. We had a time. Great service Friday night. And the Lord always amazes me somehow or another. I was in church about all day Friday and Thursday. And I had services from 1 o'clock in the afternoon, break for supper at 5:30, start back church at 7, and have about 8 or 9 preaches probably during the time we was there. And Friday night, that was the last message. I was going to close it out. And they sang, and a guy preached a long time before I did. And I did not get up to preach till 5 minutes till 9. And everybody been sitting there all day anyway. And I really thought, Lord, I don't know about this. I don't know. Maybe people are about dead and kids are tired. They've been in camp meeting all week. But I went ahead and I thought, well, I'm going to do the best I can. And I preached, and the Lord got in there, and it got good. It started getting gooder and gooder. Like that old preacher said, it's tweeter and tweeter. He couldn't talk plain. He said, it gets tweeter and tweeter. If it gets any tweeter, it's going to turn into tugger. And that's the way it got. And boy, it kept getting better and better and better. And when I got through, we stand and pray and give an invitation. And the altar filled up with young people, and they were crying and hugging necks. And I thought, well, hallelujah. This was a 15 to 10. After it was over, people kept hanging around. About 15 after 10, I was talking to the preacher standing around after church. And this young lady, I don't know how she was, 17, something like that. And she was on the back seat with her boyfriend, sitting on the very back row. That's where all boyfriends want to see it. And she was on the very back row. And she came down the aisle just bawling her eyes, got right with the Lord. And after the service, we were just standing out there talking. And I was telling this other preacher, and she came and grabbed my arm. She said, come here, come here. She was crying. Went out in the parking lot, and her boyfriend got saved out in the parking lot. And I mean, he was bawling, big old tall named Cody. And he kept saying, thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. I said, amen, brother. He was 18 years old. He got saved out there. And boy, we had a shouting time. It's shouting in the parking lot. Well, that's the way it ought to be. Amen. Amen. We ought to get out and shout in our parking lot a little bit. Yeah, right. Amen. They don't think we're crazy anyway. Might as well give them something good to talk about. Amen. We got our own ideas about who's crazy. I think anybody that thinks this world's all they got's crazy. Yeah. I think anybody who lives without Lord Jesus is crazy. Right. Amen. And so we thank you for praying and had a great time. Let's look in Hebrews chapter 3 here this morning. Just one or two verses of Scripture. It's on my heart this morning that there's people in here that need to get right with the Lord who won't get right with the Lord. And I'm going to talk about that this morning. Look at verse number 12. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Yeah. There's one thing that sin will do to you. It'll harden you. Yeah. When a person's sinning, they get hard. Right. When a person's sinning, they don't ever cry. You know, when you're really right with God, it's easy to cry. Some of you never cry anymore. And the reason you don't cry is because sin has hardened you. Yeah. And you need the Lord to break that up this morning and break you back down, soften you up, so that you can cry and shed tears. Shedding tears is not a sign of weakness. The Lord Jesus was a man of men. He was the greatest, strongest man to ever live. And the Bible said that Jesus wept. He cried on more than one occasion. So we need to not let sin harden us. And I got to thinking about this and I thought, Lord, why do we have people that have been saved who don't want to get right with God? And I'm going to give you these things here this morning that I feel like that might be your problem. There's people sitting in this room right now. You're saved. You know you've been saved. You know. If I ask you right now, you could give me a good testimony. Preacher, I remember at Bible school or in Sunday school or at my house or at the old-fashioned altar, I bowed my knee. I asked Jesus Christ to save my soul. He became my Lord and Savior. But this morning, you're far away from Him. You're far away from Him. You're not where you need to be with God. Why won't you get right? with God this morning. And I'm just going to give you four little quick things, and then I'm going to tell you a story, and I'm going to try to get you this real quick so you listen. The first reason I think that people won't get right with God is that people feel like that they have to give up too much if they got right with God. Isn't that true? People feel like, now, Benny, if I really got right with God, I would have to give up what I'm doing. And what I'm doing is so great. What I'm doing is so much fun. What I'm doing is so wonderful. I am willing to sacrifice the Lord's blessing, the Lord's peace, the Lord's goodness, and all my prayers answered and everything just for what I'm doing wrong. Does that suit you or fit you this morning? Is there somebody here this morning that would say, Preacher, I know that I need to get right with God, but I feel like that I'd have to give up too much. I see, Preacher, I'm hanging around with some people who like to party, and I'm not as bad as they are. No, I'd never do some of the things that some of them do, but I like them. And to tell you the truth, my Christian friends, I don't even know if I have any Christian friends, and people are nice to me. They make me feel important. They make me feel like I'm somebody. They treat me nice. We laugh. They're fun. But I know it's wrong for me to hang around them. And I know it's wrong for me to be with them. And I know it's wrong for me to participate in the things they're doing. I know they drink and they cuss and they smoke pot and they do this and that. And I'm not doing all those things, but I know. You know what your problem is? You feel like that what you're doing or your friends is so great and so wonderful, you're not willing to give them up for God. That's a terrible shape to be in and a big, big, big mistake. I want to tell you something this morning. First of all, them people ain't your friends, no way. Anybody that don't want you to live right is not your friend. Say amen. They are not your friend. I don't care how funny they are. I girls that have dated boys. And I mean the boy just as mean as a devil. And I say, why do you like this? She said, he's funny. He makes me laugh. Well, you know, it ain't going to be funny when he's slapping you around. It ain't going to be funny when you don't know where he's at or what he has given you that you'll never get rid of. It ain't going to be funny then. Listen, you think you have to give up too much? The truth is you're going to have to give it up anyway. Amen? There ain't going to be no partying in hell, and there ain't going to be none in heaven. You know, one of them old country singers, I've mentioned this before, always strikes me that one of them old country singers got on there, and you know, you know how they are. They all believe in heaven, hell, and God. And he's just singing, and he's saying, there ain't no whiskey in heaven. And the old song was, if there ain't no whiskey in heaven, then I don't want to go. Well, I don't know if that retard thought about it or not, but there ain't no whiskey in hell neither. Amen. Duh. I'm telling you, brother. He said, well, ain't no whiskey in heaven. I don't want to go. Well, you're going to hell. There ain't no whiskey there neither. There ain't no bar in hell where you can walk up and order a shot. I mean, there ain't no drug dealer in hell. The drug dealer will be there, but his drugs won't. And I'm going to tell you something. You're going to have to give it up anyway. Anybody in here who's partying? Anybody in here who's doing wrong? Guess what? You got to quit either way. You say, if I get right with God, I've got to quit. You got to quit anyhow. If not, be a while, but you're going to have to quit anyway. The Lord's going to do something. Something's going to happen. Car wreck, accident, or you're going to get or die or something. You've got to quit anyway. Why not just quit now and say, dear Lord, I want your blessings on my life. Listen, I've had it both ways. I've sinned and I've had God's blessings. And God's blessings are far greater than the little cheap thrills that the devil gives you this morning. I'm glad to say to you this morning, ladies and gentlemen, that the blessings of God, the power of God, the goodness of God on your life is far greater. You know what some of you, your problem is this morning? You've got so far away from God, you're beginning to wonder if He's in there. You're beginning to wonder, was it even all real? Was I tricked? Was I deceived? That's what happens when you think you have to give up too much in order to get right with God. You don't have to give up too much. You only have to give up what will hurt you. It's rags for His riches. Amen. And I'll tell you something else. Everything or body you give up for the Lord, He's got something a whole lot better He'll replace it with. God ain't going to cheat you. He is not going to cheat you. You say, well, if I give up this, then I'm going to be bored and I won't have no friends and I won't have no girlfriend or I won't have no boyfriend. Let me tell you something. Jesus said nobody has forsaken houses or lands or anything like that that God didn't give it back to him. I mean, tenfold, brother. Anybody in here who will sincerely turn from your sin and turn from that old life, God will make it up to you 100 times in other ways, in other blessings. Don't think that you've got too much to get right with God, to give up too much. Sin gets a hold of you. Whether you realize it or not, whether you admit it or not, sin is addictive. Everybody listen now. Be real quiet, girls. Sin is addictive. Any sin is addictive. All sin is addictive. Doesn't matter what it is. You know, lying is addictive. Cheating is addictive. Drinking, smoking, pot, drugs, anything you do that's against God, once you do it, it's easier to do it again and again and again. And even though they can't prove it in a laboratory that a sin is physically addictive, it is. That's just the nature of sin, as you've heard me preach many times before. You think you have to give up too much. But let me say a second thing this morning. Everybody listen. Maybe you fall into this category. You won't get right with God because you think you'll be criticized. You're afraid that you'll be criticized. Many young people fall right in this category. Young people are under such pressure to conform. Young people are under so much pressure to be like the crowd. I know teenage young people right now that are 13, 14, 15, 16, and they have a desire, they have almost an insatisfiable desire to be accepted and liked, and they will do anything nearly so that the people at school will like them. Now, I'm going to tell you kids something here this morning. Some of you will go to parties and do things that you know are not right, because everybody else is doing it, and you'll think, well, they're going to think a weirdo or a nerd or some kind of an oddball if I don't do it. I know people that have got drunk, had car wrecks, that are crippled for life and everything because they're trying to impress people from school. And I know schools just started the other day, and the rest of you, I guess, going to be starting this week. And if you're not careful, you'll think, now, if I don't do this, they won't like me. Girls are under a lot of pressure to lose their virginity at school because all the other girls do it. And if I don't, they'll talk bad about me. Boys are under pressure to do things at school because all the other guys do it. And I don't want to be we don't want nobody to talk about it. But I'm going to tell you something this morning. People will criticize you if you get right with God. But you know how much it matters what them people at school think. About that much right there. It don't matter what they think. I'm saying it again. It don't matter what they think. One more time. It don't matter what they think. Listen, in a couple of years, you're going to be out of school. You're going to lose touch with them people. And 10 years from now, you won't even know where they are. They won't know where you are. You'll look back at your old high school annual and you'll say, well, I forgot about old so-and-so. I forgot about... And some of you are ruining your life around a bunch of kids that you're never going to see again anyway after you graduate. Who gives a hoot what they think? It don't matter what people think. You say, well, I just can't stand the thoughts of them talking bad about me. Listen, you think they don't already talk about you? They talk about you. People talk about you whether you do right or whether you do wrong. I heard somebody say, well, if I really get right, people will talk bad about... They're talking bad about you anyway. Now, I mean, you sit around and talk about them. What makes you think they don't talk about you? Amen. Everybody in here, you get talked about whether you do right or whether you do wrong. You know, if you really try to live for God and you try to do right, they call you a self-righteous, holier than thou. And if you don't, they call you a hypocrite. So they're going to talk about the way. People are going to talk about you. It ain't, you know what Mom says, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words can't hurt you. That's true. Sticks and stones will break your bones. It don't matter. I learned a long time ago that it don't matter what people say. Let them talk. Let them run their mind. As long as I can lay down on my pillow at night and say, God, I've tried to live for you. I'm trying to do right. Lord, I love you. That's all that matters. You know, if criticism had any real power, skunks would be extinct. They wouldn't be a skunk in the world. Nobody ever says nothing good about them. But they just go right on, you know. Waddle across the road. Squirt you if you get too close to them. I'm telling you, talk about them all you want to. Don't bother them one bit. That's the way we ought to be. Amen. People think they would be criticized. Amen. That's right. I'm telling you this morning, matter of fact, sometimes if you'll get right with God, the Lord might use you to get all your friends, and then some of them get right with God. You think, well, if I get right, they'll talk about me. You know, some of you people work in these plants and factories, you're afraid to get right with God because they all cuss and they bring their magazines and they talk dirty stuff and everything. Listen, if you went in there right with God, they might change and follow you. You never know. I'm telling you, don't let criticism stop you from being right with God. One of these days we're going to stand before the Lord at the judgment, and when we do, He opened, and God's going to read them all off. It ain't going to matter what so-and-so thought. It ain't going to matter what your boy across the hall thought. It ain't going to matter what the boy over in math class thought. It will not matter. Don't let that stop you from getting right with God. Number three. You know why some of you won't get right with God this morning? Because the devil's got you convinced that you can sin and sin and sin and get away with it. And the preacher said, be sure you sin upon you. But not me. I'm too smart. I got it figured out. Nobody knows about my sin. God don't even know. Oh boy, I got news for you. He knows. That fellow's down there going to steal a watermelon one time, and he's showing this guy. He said, now, here's how you steal a watermelon. And his little boy was with him. He said, all you got to do is look this way, and look this way, and look this way, and look that way, and then grab it and take off. And his little boy pulled his coat like that, and he said, Daddy, you didn't look that way. You look up there, somebody's looking at you going, I see you. God sees you. He knows you. You ain't got nothing hid from Him. The Bible said, even our thoughts, He understandeth our thoughts afar off. But that's scary. That's scary. It really is. That scares me. God understands your thoughts afar off. And the only hope we've got is to stay clean in the blood of Jesus. Now I'm going to tell you, you think you can sin and get by? No way. No way. Now it might seem like it. You may think you're getting away with it. You may feel like, well, nothing bad ain't happened. The Bible said over in Ecclesiastes, it said because judgment don't come fast, the hearts of men are set on them to do evil. We think, well, nothing ain't happened yet. Nothing ain't happened yet. But the day's coming when the judgment of God will fall on your sin and on my sin. We ain't hiding nothing from God. The thing to do is repent. Repent. And turn to God. If you'll repent and turn to God, He'll go easy on you. Your punishment won't be as great. But if you insist and persist and keep on going and on going and on going, God's going to say, I give you a chance. You didn't repent. And so He has to step in. You think you can sin and get by. Watch this. See this battery? I'm going to stand right here. And I'm going to pop it. Isn't that something? It went down and hit the floor. I'm going to try this again. Let's try another experiment. I'm going to hold it like this. I'm going to drop it again. It went down again. Let's try it again. I believe. Go up, battery. Go up, battery. I believe. I don't really mean to hurt nobody. Please go up, battery. Care what you believe. You can drop it 1,000 times, it'll go down every time. You know what we call that? A law of gravity. It's a law. God has a law. The law says, you drop something, it goes down. God has another law. Sowing and reaping. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he all reap. You can't break it. One man said, I broke every law in the book. You ain't broke that one. It'll hold you every single time. It'll never fail. You know how many times you can sin and get away with it? You know how many times you can sin and get away with it? You say, well, it'll go down. You'll go down every time. Every time. You suffer every time, one way or another. God, now don't get me wrong. God is merciful. Thank God the blood of Jesus cleansed us from sin. Thank God, listen, if I got the truth, what I would deserve for my sin, I'd be dead and in hell right now. And God is merciful. But if you will not repent, if you will not see your sin as God sees your sin, if you will not take a Bible view of your sin, be careful about justifying your sin. Be careful about saying, well, I know the Bible says this is wrong, but in my case, no, there ain't no exceptions. What God said is wrong is wrong. Listen, if it cuts my head off, it's still wrong. If it's against me, it's still wrong. I got on some things in Sunday school this morning. They go, about them laws and stuff. But the book's still right. It doesn't matter who likes it, who don't. It doesn't matter what we think or what we like. God's still right, and we're wrong if we don't agree with God. People think they'll be criticized. People think they can see them get by. Listen to me. I don't know how many of y'all heard Ralph Sexton this morning. Hear him about once every 2 or 3 months, and I got to hear the message this morning. He told an illustration there that's burned in my heart since 7:30 this morning. Listen now, young people. Listen. Told of a girl. He said at church one other night, some car drove up. A man and woman got out and said, "Preacher, we need to talk to you." Said, "Please pray for our family." She said, "Our daughter grew up in Sunday school. Our daughter taught a Sunday school class when she got to be late teens and 20 years of age." He said, "But they told him, our daughter went on youth trips. Our daughter sang in the choir. Our daughter was a big part of our groups. Listen to me. Our daughter took part in everything going on in the church. Our daughter loved the Lord and said when she was in her early 20s, she met a guy and she started dating this guy. Said this guy, she said we knew he was a wicked boy. Said he wasn't saved. Didn't know God. And we told her, we said, honey, please don't. Please don't. Please don't. And she said, they said he wouldn't go to church. She kept saying, but I love him and everything will work out all right. But I love him and everything will work out all right. They went ahead and got married. I think she was 22 when they got married. By the time she was 25, they was having problems, major problems. He is a wicked man. Treated her like a dog. The real him count. And they said that girl sat in their kitchen one day for lunch. Mama was here. Daddy was here, and she is in her mid-20s. She said, Mama, God's done everything but kill me to get me right. She said, I know I'm not right. I know I'm living wrong, and God's beat me. This has happened. That's happened. God's done everything but kill me to get me right. And they said, honey, please get right with the Lord. She said, he's done everything but kill me. My goodness, I don't know what's going to happen next. She left the house. 5 hours later, they looked out and they saw her car pull up in their driveway. And the daddy went out to meet her and he said, well, did you forget something? And she got out of the car and she'd been crying and she said, Daddy, she said, I've left him. He's crazy. He said he's going to kill me. Daddy, I've left him. He said, well, come on, honey, get in the house. And she started up the sidewalk and a pickup truck come in the driveway and it was her husband. He got out in a rage. I don't know if he was drunk or what. He got out and took a pistol and he started firing and shot that girl 3 times. And she laid there in a pool of her own blood on the sidewalk while her daddy was screaming. And her daddy held her like this. 5 hours before, she said, God's done everything but kill me to get me right. Y'all listen to me? You listening, Christian, who you know you're saved, but you're living wrong? And she died in her daddy's arms, screaming, Daddy, it's too late for me now. It's too late for me now. I sure would hate to get a phone call at 5 o'clock this evening and hear about one of you girls or one of you boys. You say, oh, Brother Danny, that's why you won't get right. You think you got plenty of time. You think nothing bad ain't. That's what your problem is. Oh, you're just trying to scare. You ought to be scared.
God hates sin. He hates it. I don't care if everybody in the world is doing it. God still hates it. He said another car came up. Parents got out. And he said, we want to show you a picture of this, our son. They said, our son grew up in Sunday school. They said, our son grew up going on youth choir trips. Our son grew up in church. He never missed church. He never missed a thing. He went on all the trips. He went on all. They said, just like some of you. They said, something happened to him when he got about 17 or 18. He went wild, went crazy. Said he moved to New York City. And said he got up there and he had, you know, when they really get into crazy demonic rock and stuff, said he had horns, actual horns implanted in his head. They do that so they can look like the devil. They have ball bearings implanted in their skin, under their skin, so it'll look like knots on their head so they can look like Satan. And they said we wouldn't. It's amazing. Jesus died for you to keep you out of hell. You wouldn't even carry your Bible to school or work. And Satan's going to burn them in hell and they'll have their face disfigured for their loyalty to him. Isn't that sad? And he said, we got a call not long ago that our boys had AIDS. And there's a lot of people around this part of the country got AIDS too. And if you think you can't get it, the devil's lied to you. It's just kept real quiet. It's kept real quiet. That's why you don't hear about it. They're dying from it all over the place. And that boy died. Died at a young age. Used to go to the choir. Used to go to Sunday school. Used to be in the youth group. That's why I tell young people, you be a part. Tell parents too. Make sure your kids are a part of everything that goes on at the house of God. You can't get too much of this stuff. The devil will still try to wreck life. You know what he thought? He thought he could sin and get by. I'm going to say this and I'm through this morning. I know what your problem is. Your problem this morning is, well, preacher, you're right, but I'm just not ready to do it today. You think you got plenty of time. You don't know. You know why you get right with God this morning? You think you got plenty of time, but you don't know. Can I ask you something this morning? What are you waiting on? God been good to you? Has the devil been mean to you? Absolutely. What is the devil giving you that's so great that it's worth